Reichman University.
De-influenced. It's time to set the record straight with Jana Hoffman and Amanda Jakubowicz.
Welcome to De-Influence, a show that explores the world behind the camera, the influencers who can affect our lives and the world in which they live. My name is Jonah Hoffman, and with me always is Amanda Jakubowicz, and today we are joined by a very special guest. He's iconic for his campaigns to free Petah Tikva and to sexualize Zionism. Uri Cohen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Free Palestine. I'm kidding. Shalom. Shalom. Thank you for
having me. Wait, didn't even start?
We're off to a great start.
I'm ruining it. You see, I'm spreading. That's it. I'm ruined. I told you that I was going to ruin your podcast, but yes, this was a good start, right?
We're about to get million views.
This will flip it up. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for coming.
Firstly, let me just say, Shechianu Vekimanu, this took so long, but it's so funny because I was like, oh, like, Uri is like my closest like influencer friend. So I was like,
don't
I don't want people to know.
I know, I don't tell people, too many people, that unfortunately we are friends, you know. But yes. Yes, so finally the Uri arrived faster than the Mashiach. You told the opposite. But yeah, thank you for having me, Jonah and Amanda. Kol hakavod lachem for doing this. And yeah.
I'm Shelly.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on. It's just, this is so exciting. And really, honestly, just to jump right off here and just ask sort of, how do you get into this world? You're obviously very popular, and I know after October 7th especially, you know, Amanda's told me about how you're getting people on the street who are like, oh my god, it's Free Petah Tikva guy, look, it's him. How'd you get into this, and how'd that all start, really?
So everything that you see on social media starts, let's say, a few years ago, 2018-19. I was after the IDF, I wanted to fly for vacation, like all the Israeli fuckboys, to South America, you know, for Tiul Gadol, it's called, for 6 months. So I said, okay, I want to do it. I need money. Let's be a security guard on Birthright. On the way, maybe I will find an American girl and get a green card. It still didn't happen for me. Yes, and now I need to leave the U.S. But I started as a security guard on Birthright. I was the worst security guard ever. Like, really. I would, instead of protecting the group, I would open my camera and film how my group is going to die next to the West Bank or something. And I forced everyone. I told them, you want me to be your security guard? You need to follow me on Instagram. And then, group after group after group, they're all scared. They think that I will trade them to Gaza or something if they don't follow me. I started to grow followers, and then I started to make fun of a lot of anti-Semites, to take a video of Bella Hadid, for example, and make fun of how her brain is smaller than a bamba. Yeah, this is how it started. And then I started my first business from Instagram. Amanda knows, she spent all of the, like, her friend were funding my nose reduction, literally. It's called Pop Crawl Tel Aviv. You all can come here. I got advertisement also. That I take young people, young, mostly tourists, to clubs around Rothschild Boulevard. They get to know each other, having sex, Baruch Hashem, making Jewish babies at the end of the night. And then... talking about October 7th, or you want to ask me something?
You could just keep talking. You're a guest here.
Okay, so, and then I, 1 week before October 7th, I decided that I want to go to the U.S. to, because I had like 34,000 followers. And I said to myself, let's go to the U.S., meet the community, get connection. And I was flying to the U.S. literally 7 days before October 7th. Like, it seems like Hamas called me and told me about the plan, and I just escaped. And then one day before, it's crazy, because one day before October 7th, I opened Instagram, like, let's say 2020, something like this, 2020, like, and until... before October 7, I had like 35,000 followers. And a few hours before October 7, I made a poll and I wrote, do you think that by the end of 2023, I will make it to 40,000 followers? And then I made a poll. just for the joke, I wrote step a foot in Gaza, whatever. And then a few hours after, I swear I can show you this. It's crazy. October 7 happened. And obviously, everyone is shocked. Everyone was shocked. Every video that I saw on Telegram, it doesn't matter. I didn't care about community guidelines. I was posting everything that I saw. I was so mad. And then October 8th, I was in New York. October 8th, all the pro-Hamas bin Laden, this disgusting chocolate hummus people, they did a rally in Times Square, wanted to celebrate this massacre. And I said, there is no way that I need to go there. Obviously, you can't be violent or something, but I'm going to make fun of all of them. I went there alone with the Israeli flag. And then I started to make, I think this day changed my life, like, on social media, I started to make videos, the Free Petah Tikva, and basically, I was growing the same day, 5,000 followers, it was crazy, but obviously, yeah, and since then, I'm keeping doing it. Yeah,
like you honestly, in the span of time, you went from like the guy that like makes fun little parties and like fun little Petah Tikva videos in Israel to like kind of like a Hasbara activist. And you've gone to a few events in America and
yeah,
your life is very different.
Yeah, so this is very, I'm a really social person. I really like to connect between people. And I was doing, honestly, Amanda, I was doing this Hasbara before October 7th. I was roasting a lot of anti-Semites, making videos. But on October 7th, suddenly, all the Jews understood that something very, very, very big happened. Something that affects the life of everyone. And in 1 second, really, in 1 second, you saw that everyone on social media also getting united, like everyone sharing. So suddenly, everything that's happening gets to connecting all the Jews in real life and on social media. This is why you see something like insane growth of followers. It's just an example how the Jews getting connected when there is a crisis. So yeah, beside that, the social media, I really believe that we need to bring it to the to real field. We need to bring the people together also to get to know each other, connect, make Jewish babies, make more Jewish babies. And it's important. כן? נכון, אמנדה? בעזרת השם?
רק שמחות. But no, that's the thing. Like, you're a guest on our show. Like, we have different episodes. Like, okay, we're going to interview a political guy. We're going to interview this, blah, blah, blah. But you kind of, like, kind of give our community everything that can possibly be offered. Like, comedy, Hasbara, like combating anti-Semitism, empowering Jews, party guys. You have like clothing lines. You have your little bathing suits, sort of. Shiduchim, like what else? You're an educational speaker. You're like, sorry, I'm like speaking Hebrew now, but you're kind of everything rolled into one. Like, how do you sort of define yourself?
Yeah, honestly, this is what I want to define myself. I want, because eventually it's everything. As you said, like I said to myself, when you have a community, you can do so many things. You can give so many things to this community to give them value. So you can make, for example, you can turn a sad event or something that pissing you off into something funny, like I do when I take a part of video of people with no brain, and you turn them into joke, you piss them off even more, and you make your community laugh. Like I always say, the things that the anti-Semites wants the most, the Jew haters want the most, they want you to be sad, they want you to cry, they want to see that they are hurting you. But when you show them the opposite, when you turn them into a joke, you win twice. I see it. First of all, you're dealing with the situation. Second of all, they are losing their minds. They say, what the fuck, I made fun of his nose. Like I said that it looked like the caricature from the Nazis, but then he making like, yeah, this is other topics we didn't talk about. But then he's
you
making
kind of
fun
do
of
look like that photo.
No,
like in the best way possible.
It's okay. I don't care. Listen, I don't mind. What can I tell you? I always think in my head, every branding, everything is like good. Like I don't get offended out of that. People can do it as much as they want. And yeah, and I don't, I think that this is a good example to show that anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism is the same thing, really, when
right.
people are doing it.
And obviously, like, again, referencing like the photo, my parents have brought that up to me so many times. And when we talk about this community, when we talk about the Zionist and Hasbara Israeli Jewish content creator community, you're one of the biggest names that pops up almost every single time you get mentioned, and it's amazing and everything. And in terms of that, what do you think your biggest contribution to this community has been? And in addition to that, from that contribution and from this leadership position you have, how do you keep your identity? How do you sort of stay you?
Contribution is like what I give, what I provide. That's what you mean? You know,
yeah.
My
yeah.
English is
yeah.
one level. What I give?
התרומה הכי גדולה שנתת לקהילה.
גדולה?
For the ESL kids at home.
I think really that what, like, mostly to the young generation, like, you know, there is a lot of activists and everyone doing, but I feel like I'm reaching out more to the young generation in a way that, you know, it's like goofy and fool, and their parents not going to be like to act ridiculous like me. And they feel really comfortable, you know. I have no filters. I say Mia Khalifa, for example, swallowing Jewish babies, you know. And people, some people that are politically correct are like, what? But the young generation, they laugh from this. I feel like I really connect. I know to connect to the young generation in a way that they will, you know, it will be something easy for them, and you know, with the parties, with the jokes, with the humor, and it's giving them, I feel like it's giving them confidence, and they feel like, okay, we don't need to be scared, like we can turn it also into a joke. So I think this is the thing that I also like the most and wants to people to get the most about what I do.
Do you think it helps that you're very Israeli and like your accent is so strong, like you're so identifiably Israeli, your humor is so Israeli, like do you think that kind of plays into kind of how you're so popular?
I think that if I lose my accent, I lose all my followers. It's like if I get a nose reduction, I lose all my followers. This is my identity. This is where I came from. And then in my bio on Instagram, I write graduated from Shuk Machane Yehuda. It's all about that. And yeah, it's the whole, I feel like the character, Amanda, you know me. I'm, this is who I am. I'm not like playing now, and I'm not an actor or something like this. I'm basically acting like myself.
No, you're insane.
Everything that you see on social media, it's me. Like, I'm not fake it. Like, my ex is too fake or something.
Right.
I'm kidding. Okay.
And just one quick follow-up on that. Do you still have fun while you do this, or has this become more work? Like, I put work in quotes here. Is it more play or is it more work? Like, do you still have fun when you make all of these posts, when you do this content?
I tell you what, I'm really, really, really honored to be able to make money, parnasa, and to do the things that I enjoy the most in the world. Really. Making videos, editing, like, you know, sometimes it can be annoying to edit a video, whatever, but filming the video, thinking about the ideas, waking up and posting and see the comments, and it's everything for me. It's like to win the lottery, to be able to be like full-time social media influencer and to be able to meet so many communities. So yeah, sometimes you're getting tired of things, and you all the time need also to think about the new things, you know, because Free Petah Tikva, it was funny, whatever. After a few times, people say, okay, I understand, there is Arsim there, we need to free it from the Arsim occupation, but yalla, give us something else. And then you need to think, well, like, bro, let me tell you, it's not easy to create, like, you know, to do something new. But it's the best thing ever, really. And I want to encourage more people to become influencers and to make videos here. Amanda Bezrat Hashem.
Jonah and Amanda have a podcast. Amanda,
Jonah, Nachon. Nachon, Nachon. It's activism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
very important. Yeah.
It's weird, though. Like, I mean, that's kind of what our whole podcast is about. Like, is October 7th happened and this, like, window opened of, like, oh, if you're a Jewish person, like, make content. Like, oh, like, all these new celebrities, like, were, like, born from October 7th happening. Obviously not because of it. Like, we didn't want it to happen. But as a result, like, there's this post-October 7th world. And, like, that's kind of what every episode that we talk about comes back to. Like, what even is this? What's going on? A lot of things I know about influencers before I, like, Uli, like, you were, like, my only influencer friend for a long time. And, like, I know things about other influencers and whatever from you. I'm low-key exposing you right now. But all of this is to say, like, there's a whole world of influencers.
I have also big mouth, not only big mouth.
Exactly, right? So, like, yeah, I don't know. What do you think about just how this world has been created? And as someone who has been in Hasbara before it became a super big trend after October 7th, like, how does it all kind of look like to you, this change?
This change, I feel like, yeah, you're right. Like, before October 7th, there was not so many influencers. Like, we talked about Matan Peretz, he, for example, didn't use to make Hasbara videos in English. He was very, like, he was famous in the Israeli industry. But then suddenly, a lot of people, for example, Matan Peretz, for example, a lot of other people, they said, okay, wait, we need also to spread the message to, you know, the people worldwide. And then they started to speak in English or to write subtitles in English. So more people will get to know, you know, get exposed to it. And I feel like every person almost, like, also I think that the algorithm of Instagram changed with all the reels, because you can have 2 followers now. And you may, enough that you made 1 funny or good video or something that a lot of people shared, suddenly you are an influencer. You can reach out to thousands of likes, and suddenly you gain followers, and then everyone becoming an influencer, every person. Like, and it's good. Yeah, it's good. It's good, because then more people speaking up and more people feeling comfortable to spread a message. And I feel
Do you find a difference, though, between how the Israelis or Israeli content creators see the situation going on and the Americans? Like, do you find there's sort of a big disconnect, or do you see a lot more unity as someone who's kind of lived in both places, made content in both places?
So I'm telling you, I will tell you something very honest. I'm in the industry of the Hasbara and making content for years. I'm telling you, a few years. Before October 7th, I'm telling you, and still now, there is a huge, huge, huge disconnection between diaspora Jews to Israeli Jews. Huge disconnection, I'm telling you. For example, if you ask Israelis, you tell them, you know who is AOC or Rashida Tlaib? They don't know. They don't know who is she. I knew her who is she before October 7th. For example, there is big incidents like of anti-Semitism. You go to I don't know, to Kuli Alma or club, you talk with someone, you tell him, you know that a guy in this university was, they don't know about it. They Israelis, I feel like, kind of living in their own shell. They don't understand so much. They didn't understand so much all the protests against Israel in the US. You know, because they feel like slaves, they feel like, But October 7th opened the eyes of a lot of people. Suddenly people saw that their family getting slaughtered and people celebrating this. Suddenly they got the boom in their face, you understand? And I feel like my job and other influencers is kind of, you know, make this gap smaller. So Israelis will understand more the anti-Semitism that the Jewish people facing in the diaspora, and also diaspora Jews, like, that will understand our fear, like our voices, and we'll see Israel not like Cancun, because I see some Jewish people coming to Israel for 2 weeks, you know, have fun at Shalvata, go back, you know.
Yeah.
To treat Israel more like home, to fight on social media, not to be scared to post this, the Israeli flag on their story. And yeah, this is what it's important.
Yeah. And just kind of also on the disconnect you talked about, you know, from Israel to America, do you think that disconnect also exists sort of on the same level from Americans to Israel, where we have incidents that happen here in Israel? Americans just, like, they hear about, but they just don't really get it.
I tell you something that I feel like needs to be, yeah, yeah, absolutely. I can give you like an example. Maybe it will sound weird, but okay, you have incidents on, for example, that there was an incident in the north of Israel that a drone was hitting a base of Golani. You heard about it.
Yeah.
And there was like 8 Golani soldiers that got killed. Very tragic, very sad, very... But I feel like, honestly, like, obviously, everyone very sad about it. But I feel like, for example, there was also an incident in New York when an older guy was walking with the flag. I don't know if you remember. And he got hit and his nose was bleeding. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So this incident, like, I don't like to do comparison, but the Golani incident, you can agree with me that it's a bigger incident. 8 Jews got killed in a war, whatever, whatever. But I'm telling you, if you will see the 2 posts, go on social media, you will see that the one with the guy that was bleeding in the nose will get way more clout. People will lose their mind more than this. Like, you will see it statistically.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm trying to say. Like, this incident, it's very bad. It's like a guy was punched and because he's a Jew. But I feel like the diaspora Jews, there is this gap. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
People need to lose their mind more in the diaspora when something like this happened. Like, they lose when a guy gets punched in the nose and bleeding and lose their mind and calling everyone. And so this is what I feel like needs to be, diaspora Jews needs to be more, to understand, like, even more.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. Like, the Hasbara style and community outside of Israel and inside Israel is so different. And I don't know, to me personally, I think that's a big reason why our Hasbara is really bad. Everyone's complaining. Everyone all over the place is saying Israel's PR is so bad. But, like, I think everyone's just saying something different and seeing things different. And, like, compared to the other side that have just one narrative that they stick to, it does better with marketing.
Yeah, no, it's true. You're right. I agree with you about that.
Now, let's be silly for a second. Okay, Uri, as we know, you love gossip. So as we wrap up, can you tell us the juiciest piece of gossip you can give us right now?
The juiciest piece of gossip. I have so many things, but I will lose my followers. People will not tell me the tea anymore. But what can I tell you, Amanda? You need to prepare me for this. Now it's hard to think in this moment, this 1 second.
You could also, if you want, you could tell us something that maybe you learned in the past, okay, and that became public knowledge that you had prior warning of before everybody else did.
See, like, when me and Jonah were starting this podcast, like, we're just, like, on the phone, like, ranting about this whole community and da-da-da-da, like, talking about all these influencers. And I'm like, well, Uli told me this and Uli told me that. And do you know how much this person makes? Blah, blah, blah. So what's, like, okay, not juiciest. What's your half juiciest piece of gossip?
Well, I know that I have the biggest juice. But if I tell the juice, I will not have juice anymore in my life.
That's on your
side. I try to think. I don't know. What can I tell you? I usually have no filters, but I try to think what I can tell you. Amanda, there is a juice that I told you that you think it's okay to share to everyone?
No.
You understand? So maybe Amanda will tell us if she has a crush of one.
What's your biggest piece of gossip about me that won't ruin my reputation?
The biggest gossip about Amanda. Jonah, I don't know you yet. I will get to know you. I will know also gossip about
you.
We'll
get there. You know my aunt pretty well. Melinda. Yeah. Melinda.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Well, I will work on gossip.
Yeah, it's okay.
The gossip on Amanda. I feel like Amanda, I think that the last time that you were in Israel, you told me that you met a guy, no, or someone at one of my events at the pool party.
Okay, moving on.
You understand?
Okay. Well, let's wrap this up. Also, we haven't mentioned yet, but just so everybody knows, Petach Tikva started as an Israeli joke. Israelis were saying it before Americans were, and then Uli was like, oh, I'll make a video about this, and now we're here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's my piece of gossip.
Yeah.
It's good gossip.
I do remember TikTok has a filter that allows you to do rankings, and one of them is for Israeli cities. And every time I see a video with that ranking, a Petach Tikva comes up, every single person puts it at bottom, number 10.
Yes, exactly, because it's occupied land by the Arsim. Mm-hmm. Yes, this was my most viral video, I feel like, that I went to. That I, it started before the free Petach Tikva. It was the song of Alicia Keys and Jay-Z. You know, mm-hmm. The New York. So I wrote the lyrics. I wrote the lyrics, Petach Tikva, the city, all your dreams, can break. And I wrote it all. And then I went to Sgula. It's the ugliest industry area of Petach Tikva. And then I did like the same. It went so viral, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And then it became a movement. Yeah.
On October 7th. We're going to free Petach Tikva.
We are going to free Petach Tikva.
Bezrat Hashem.
Bezrat Hashem.
We're going to make a tour in Petach Tikva. Nachon, Amanda? We will go there.
Can we do pub crawl Petach Tikva?
We will do. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I would go. I would go to that one. I'm not usually a pub guy.
Security. We need security. We need the IDF enter with us. We
have so your security. Your phone and your Instagram. How are you a security guard?
We'll get an armored convoy.
If you want to die, let me be.
Yeah. Well, don't want to leave. It'll be good for clicks and good for views. Before we go, do you have any one last thing you want to say to our audience or to just the Jewish and Israeli community in general?
I want to say, like, to you, Jonah and Amanda, and to the young generation, to keep talking and speaking out. And it's very important, really. I really, really, really happy to see, you know, people that care about the situation, because it affects all of us, not only Israelis, diaspora Jews. So keep being proud. Don't hide your... Be proud. The anti-Semites, this is the reason why they hide their face like this. Because no one, because they're scared of you. So when they see a strong Jewish character, someone then stand up, look at their eyes and say like, fuck you, like, I'm Israeli, or I'm Jewish, you're anti-Semite, whatever, they're scared from you. They know that they're in the terrorist side. So even if you're scared, be stand up, talk with someone, stand up strong, nachon? Mm-hmm. And they will be scared from you, because the thing that they scare them more is a strong Jewish character.
Yeah.
So yeah, keep doing it. Amazing. Really amazing. Nachon, Amanda? That's
nachon. Strong Jewish character, strong Jewish nose.
Nachon. Exactly. Fight them with their nose like this.
Yep. With that said, thank you for listening to The Influence, a show that sets the record straight and explores the world of influencers, content creators, and more. Thank you so much, Uri, for joining us today. My name is Jonah Hoffman, and with me always is Amanda Yakubovitz, and we will see you in the next one.
The Influence. It's time to set the record straight with Jonah Hoffman and Amanda Yakubovitz.